You are Locked On the NBA, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome, everybody, to your favorite day of the week. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm joined by Adam Matas. My Lakers are back. They're heading to the playoffs. They might win a championship. How about that? Some night of basketball, huh?
It's so easy to get to the swings from optimism and despair for Lakers Nation. It's really been a roller coaster for all of us.
So at one point in during last night's festivities, the Lakers were down double digits to the Rockets, and the Kings were up double digits on the Warriors. And here in the Irwin household, it was a little tense, a little nervous.
I think Adam Silver hit the Scott Foster signal. the giant light in the sky that said, no, we can't have this. Millions of dollars.
Well, if they're going to do that, like, then just you would do that to make sure the Kings get out, or the Spurs get out. The Kings, I think, are...
That's a good point.
So today's show, we are going to talk about the two main games, the two TNT games, the Lakers obviously beating the Houston Rockets, the Milwaukee Bucks edging out the Boston Celtics. And then in segment two, we are going to jump around the league for the other games. It's just nice to have basketball back.
It's so nice.
I didn't think I was going to make it. That was a long week.
It's like a friend who went on a long trip, a coworker, and finally returned, and you're so excited to share the news.
I didn't take a trip, though. I'm not sure who you're talking about. And then in the final segment...
Definitely not you.
The final segment, we are going to talk about the storylines to come. Last time Adam and I got together, we talked about the storylines to heading into the All-Star break and the season that was. We're going to look ahead to what we're looking forward to for the rest of the season. Let's start, though. Do you want to start Milwaukee or do you want to start Lakers?
I definitely want to start with the Lakers. They are the story of the night. And it's not just the Lakers. We should call it Rockets Lakers because yes. One of the things. So obviously, just a quick recap of the game. The Lakers were down pretty big. I thought LeBron James's body language in the first half of this game really signaled to me like, oh, man, I know playoff mode activated all this stuff, but he just looked like he was so frustrated and out of it. And then from the ashes of that first half, the Lakers rose and came back, slash the Houston Rockets completely choked. And that's kind of my question to you. You watched this game. Was this more of a Lakers gutty, gritty, come from behind, believe in yourself win, or more of a Houston Rockets sort of collapse, you know, when the game started to get tight?
Can I say like 50-50? Do I have to take a side here? Because I think it'd be one thing if it was like a 135 to 132 type of game and the Lakers just got ridiculously hot, the Rockets cooled off, and then the Lakers hit enough shots to get back in it and eventually win. But this was 111 to 106. Like, the Lakers haven't been a good defensive team in a month. They've been awful. Yeah. And the fact that they were able to kind of buckle down, four of James Harden's fouls tonight were on the offensive end. Which, way to go, yeah. Scott Foster.
Okay.
Shouts to Scott Foster.
Fouled out for just, I think, the seventh time in his career, sixth or seventh time. Yes.
Chris Paul also fouled out. So once again, shouts to Scott Foster. But yeah, the Lakers actually playing defense. LeBron actually, like, he cared about defense in the fourth quarter. It was funny. I was making fun of, like, playoff intensity LeBron all game because there were multiple defensive possessions where he just didn't leave the key. But, you know, he took a charge. He fouled right? Harden out on a charge.
This is one of Houston's problems is, you know, you play this style and you James Harden phenomenal at it. Mm-hmm. But it does become a little bit more predictable down the stretch. Yeah. And I thought that the part of why, I mean, we laugh about the Scott Foster thing, but I thought those Chargers, they weren't, like, egregious. I mean, some of them you could say 50-50, you know, could go either way type things, but nothing that I'm like, oh, what a horrible call. But the Lakers were in position in large part because it's just so predictable what they're going to try to do in those moments. And if you look at it, Houston, 90 points with a minute 23 left in the third quarter.
Yeah.
With basically 2 minutes left in the fourth quarter, they had 97. So they went 12 minutes and scored 7 points in the most important stretch of the entire game. Their offense got very, very predictable.
It's great to see both LeBron and the Rockets in playoff form this early in the season. It's great stuff. Let's talk really quickly now about the.
Brandon Ingram was really good. I just wanted to make that thing is he, you know, he's a guy that I think is polarizing, but he had a very, very good game. And as much as LeBron was a story, as he's always a story, I thought Brandon Ingram was maybe even a bigger story this game.
Yeah, Josh Hart was a plus 22 in 19 minutes.
There's also that.
those young guys really kept the veterans afloat, the ones who Laker fans were told were going to be great signings. I do want to – can I go on a mini rant, like a mini Twitter rant?
Of course.
Why do people want the Kings in the playoffs and not LeBron? Why is this a thing?
Yeah. Like, well, you know what it is. People hate either. Well, first of all, most people love the Lakers, Anthony, so don't get the complex here. Most people love. There's a small minority of people. But there was a certain segment of fans tonight that thought that the Kings would be a better draw in the first round than the Lakers. Look, LeBron versus the Golden State Warriors the last two seasons plus this one, mm-hmm. It's probably more suited for the first round. I don't think so. It's the finals. But it's still a very good, very, very, very entertaining first-round series, even if it only goes 4 or 5 games. So come on, people.
Yeah, it's one thing. All right, say that about the Spurs, not about the Lakers. Say,
Warriors still had champagne on their breath. You know, they still had the Mai Tai in their hand at the second quarter of this game. Oh, do I need to set this down? I'm still at the All-Star vacation. So
Klay Thompson forgot there was a game tonight.
Exactly. The Kings play a great, gritty game. They kind of blew it at the end as well. But let's not fool ourselves. Playoffs, Golden State wins that one in 4. And I don't think it's as fun as people think.
Yeah. All right. Milwaukee takes care of business against the Boston Celtics. I particularly enjoy that Kyrie forced up a shot with Al Horford wide open on the wing after having spent all of the last month or so talking about maturity and playing for guys going for their own self. Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown should just screen grab that image there of Kyrie shooting like a weird skyhook with his left hand while
I think Horford, he thought he was fouled. Open. I mean, I don't think that was the shot he was going for. I think he thought he was fouled and ended up throwing up the prayer. But to your point, 9 of 27 in this game, I thought Kyrie was actually really bad in this game. Mm-hmm. One of his worst games, and at a moment, Boston had a chance in this Milwaukee game, but 27 shots, a lot of those were forced. I thought a lot of them in the first quarter, really. His first quarter shot profile, I thought, was worse than his fourth quarter profile. He really, really forced up quite a bit. But, you know, Giannis obviously did his thing. Middleton had the biggest bucket of the night, three-pointer at the top of the key that I think tied the game. So, this game to me, it wasn't really about any one player, but Kyrie Irving's 27 shots really does stand out.
Yeah, you can't do that after spending the last month talking about maturity and shooting, like guys shooting too much for themselves. That's not a great look, man. it's not a great look. All right, we're going to take a quick second here, and when we come back, we're going to bounce around the league. There were some really good games tonight all over the league, and it's just, like I said, it's really nice to have basketball back. It's just so much fun to be able to watch basketball. So hang tight. We'll be back in a second.
One interesting note from that Boston-Milwaukee game, by the way, mm-hmm. Not a lot of free throws. 5 of 6 for Boston in the game, 10 of 14 for the Bucks in this game. And it's interesting. Both teams, I think, very good at not fouling, but it's very rare to see a game with so few free throw attempts.
Especially one that close.
Yeah, down to the wire. Kyrie Irving, 0 of 0. 27 field goal attempts, 0 free throws.
That's wild. That's not great. Can we talk about – I want to talk a little bit more about that Warriors-Kings game. Is that okay?
Let's do it.
So the Warriors-Kings game to me, now obviously, like the Warriors, there's always the caveat when you talk about Warriors games and regular season games and their effort and their focus and all that stuff. So that's always the disclaimer. But I do find it interesting and I find it really cool that the Kings are going to be allowed to exist on this timeline that they're on. They're gonna have time to see what they have, and they're going to have time to do that because of the way that their young guys are producing right now, and you know, when you compare it to, say, like, you know, the way that the Knicks are operating, where they just kind of ditched the Porzingis era at the chance of having Kevin Durant. You have what's going on with the Lakers, where they were ready to ditch the entire young core for Anthony Davis. So, you know, it kind of makes sense that they were ready to do that. But it's kind of cool that the Kings get to exist. They just get to exist and they get to evolve on their own timeline.
Well, part of the counter to that would be, you know, making the playoffs sometimes can be a curse for such a young team. I mean, let's face it. Sacramento is playing well above their heads this season. Oh, yeah. They're 30-28. I think they're 14 games ahead of where they were projected to be at this point or something like that. They're the surprise team of the season. But, you know, going in, like if I told you right now, do they make the playoffs next year, not knowing what happens in free agency, not knowing any of that stuff, I think you'd still have them either on the bubble or on the outside. Yeah. And sometimes when you get too much success early with a young team, it moves the goalposts in a way that's not healthy. So for them, it's a win-win year for them. Getting into the playoffs would be great. But, you know, you can't skip steps in this league, especially a team like Sacramento. And to be honest, they're probably not one of the eight best teams out West this year.
No, I completely agree. And I hope that their fans kind of recognize they don't reset expectations based on outperforming them this year. let's talk about the 76ers beating Miami without Joel Embiid. Boban's a monster. I could watch Boban all day. I just want to show following around Boban doing Boban things. Did you have any thoughts on the game?
I don't have a whole lot of thoughts on this one other than winning without Joel Embiid. You know, the news of his knee soreness, I think it's Philadelphia and everybody there, especially the media, I think saying, oh, you know, it's nothing to be too concerned about. It's precautionary. But I think with him and his injury history, every time that he's injured, you're always going to perk up. So, interesting to me, though, is, you know, Embiid, maybe he misses a week, maybe he misses two, maybe he's in and out of the lineup for a while. But this is a roster that has really had a complete overhaul, and they need time to gel. This is a starting lineup that's only played a couple of minutes together so far this season. So every game he's out is game that they do not get to play with the single player who changes their identity the most. And that's the storyline for them I'm most interested about.
And by the way, both Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris are free agents at the end of the year.
Right. So, like, there's a lot of gelling that has to happen.
That's a really good point to make. All right, the Portland Trailblazers in, I believe, Enes Kanter's first game with the team, right? Beat the Brooklyn Nets. Nurkic and Kanter, they were just too big for anything Brooklyn tried to do against them.
27-12 from Nurkic, 18-9 from Kanter in just 20 minutes. So a great debut from him, 8 of 9. And yeah, that was the story. And we know this about Brooklyn. I mean, they do this a lot. They have Jared Allen in the middle, who's very good. But they play small. They play fast. They play frenetic. And it's always a balance between size and speed. Portland won this one. I think Portland's one of the more interesting teams to kind of watch here post All-Star break, because they're a team that I could see, I think right now in fourth or fifth in the West, they're a team that could climb up and throw themselves into that. You know, I don't know if they can get all the way up till two or three, because there's a little bit of separation there, but they can have home court in the first round, or they could fall a little bit and be more in that 7-8 zone. So they're a team I think could go either way here, but I would predict that they finish in the top half of that bracket.
Did you like the Kanter pickup? I'm still kind of torn about it.
You know, I like Collins a lot, but you know, Collins is a guy that he's so up and down that I don't think Portland felt like they could. I think his highs as a two-way player are a lot higher than Kanter's, but I think you know what you get from Kanter night in and night out. So
yeah.
So no, but I think that I get why they did it.
Yeah. It also is kind of nice sometimes. Like, everybody likes the change of pace when you go to the bench, but sometimes it's nice to have a little bit more consistency, you know, when you go from a Nurkic to a Kanter versus completely changing.
The Rodney Hood, Evan Turner, and Enes Kanter lineup is really a funny one to me. I mean, you're talking about three guys that like to dribble the air out of the ball, go one-on-one in their respective zones. So, but you know what? They can score some points.
Yep. All right. We're going to take another quick second here. And when we come back, we are going to broaden our scope here and talk about what the best storylines are as we get ready for the post All-Star break sprint to the finish. I like that it's offset. I like that it's offset. It's not like right down the middle.
Oh, of course.
After the All-Star break, everybody just hits hyper.
Well, you know, it is right down the middle. It's right down the middle from the start of the season and the finals.
Wow, you're better at math than I am. We're going to take a quick second and come back and laugh at my math skills. And we have quite a bit. I was actually looking at this. I was thinking, you know, a week hasn't really changed much in the league, and when you're looking ahead, but there's quite a bit to talk about as you're looking at the rest of this regular season. Look, people are going to laugh at me, Lakers fan, thinking that the Lakers are atop everybody's list of things to talk about, but SEO says I'm right. So we're going to start with LeBron and the Lakers trying to make the playoffs. Do you, Adam, if you had to bet on it, do you think they make it?
Yeah, of course. And, you know, even I think if they would have lost this game, I would have put it at the 50-50. This game would have been the one that I've been like, okay, now we're on the razor's edge. But, you know, they won. Sacramento lost. And LeBron, you know, he's still LeBron. I don't know that tonight. I will say this. I expected a little bit more from LeBron.
Yes.
I know that's weird to say.
No,
I expected
yes,
a little bit
right.
more from LeBron tonight. Mm-hmm. And so it does make you wonder just like how much. I know he said, you know, going into playoff mode early, but you know, just can he go into playoff mode in the regular season? In the playoffs, you get 3 days off between games.
Yeah.
He's going to have back-to-backs. I just don't know that, you know, so it's still interesting, but I'm not going to bet against him.
I think the big thing for me isn't so much, like, so there was a stretch in the game where he just started really fighting for offensive rebounds, and I thought the Lakers always play to his energy level. Like, that's been their theme all season.
And I think so, most teams do to their best player.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the burden of the best player.
Yeah, and so whether or not he can play to an energy level that lifts the rest of everybody around him, that I was nervous about it today. What's at the top of your list of things that you're looking forward to?
At the top of my list, you know, just playoff seeding in general. I know this is kind of along the same lines, but it's not just I think we know in both conferences now the 9 or 10 teams that are, you know, in the everybody else mm-hmm. got more or less eliminated. But I really want to see where these teams slide in. I think Golden State obviously very likely to finish first. But do teams start to try to position themselves to avoid them? Do teams try to target specific teams in the first round and maybe try to move up and move down? So the league has done a great job, I think, with their schedule in recent years, where there's a lot of, you know, you look at the Western Conference playoffs, all of these teams play each other twice at least. So you basically have nice previews of the playoffs coming up. And so the seeding aspect of it, I think, will be very, very interesting.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's going to be funny to watch teams. Like, if you're in that 8 spot, you're going to fight like hell to get up to the 7 spot if you're in the West, right?
Yeah.
But if you're in the 9 spot, like if you're the Clippers, for example, and they're going to keep their pick if they don't make the playoffs, right? If organizationally, now the players don't tank. Like, that's not a thing. But organizationally, you know, Jerry West, Lawrence Frank are probably looking at that like, you know, guys, keeping our pick, it seems like a lot more fun than getting run in the first round to the Golden State Warriors. But that's just
I'm also curious to see the first two seeds in the East, I think, are a little bit more important. And they're pretty much locked up with Milwaukee and Toronto, because Indiana and Brooklyn, while not great teams, you don't want to play them. You would rather play Charlotte or Detroit. Mm-hmm. It's a big drop off there. And one of the things I'm looking at here, Indiana currently in the 3 seed, they're only up 1 game on Philadelphia, 2 on Boston. But if they could somehow manage to hold on to that 3 seed, you would force a first round matchup between the 76ers and Celtics. Talk about two teams that have a lot to lose this free agency period. And if you lose in the first round of a playoff, it's really hard to persuade your unrestricted free agents that this is the place to be.
If Brad Stevens doesn't get out of the first round here, we got to stop with like the crazy hype around him. We can't. We got to.
This is such a Laker take. Let's move it. Let's keep it moving, man.
What if he can't get out of the first round? You don't agree. You don't agree.
Well, I just said that Philadelphia or Boston, if they faced in the first round, that would one of those teams. I don't think it would necessarily change what we think of one of those teams. We expected those teams to match up in the second round. But if it happened in the first round, one of those teams is going to look very, very disappointing. But it's just the nature of where their seeding goes.
I guess.
I'll count that as a win.
Well, like, it's also on the Celtics and 76ers that they're in that position, right? So, like, we can't just write it off as like, well, case for us.
Yeah, no, you're right about it. But I also give credit to Indiana, because their record of 38-20 is a great record. That's actually a really, really impressive record. They would be third in the West, too. So,
Next thing on mine, can we talk about the MVP race? I was surprised today.
That's a good one. Yeah, I like it.
I was surprised. It's seen as a two-dog race, I think, right now. I think Giannis, for me personally, is pretty substantially ahead of James Harden, in my opinion.
Should be.
But I think like Paul George should be getting more noise to be in that number two spot than he is currently. How do you feel? And then Jokic is also right there. It's a really fascinating race.
You know, I'm a Denver guy. I have Jokic a distant fourth. I really do think it's a two-person conversation with Paul George trying to butt into that conversation. And I'm with you. You know, here's the one thing we learn every year, Anthony. The conversation evolves. It's almost like there's three sections of the season. And the last one's the most important, this one that we're in right now. And a player, even somebody, you know, like a Russell Westbrook or a Steph Curry or a Kevin Durant could push themselves into that conversation with an exceptionally great close to the season, because that's what's freshest on the mind when the ballots are due. I think the early part of the season is probably the second most important. This stretch we just concluded, of which James Harden went on his enormous run, it's actually the least important, I think.
It kind of sort of is.
It gets lost in translation. So I would say it's a two-person race at this moment with Paul George trying to get in, but everything can change over the next 8 weeks.
So what you're saying is, if the Lakers go undefeated in their final 25, LeBron's the MVP, right? That's
Hey, you know, well, you know, one thing you could say. So the Lakers right now, we're looking at them. They're the 10 seed. Where are they going to be? But they're only, and this is crazy to say, they're only 4 games out of the 5 seed. So, yes, if they went on this enormous run and somehow wound up with the 5 seed after all this hoopla, then, you know, maybe. Why not?
Yeah. What's next on your list? We have time for a couple more, it looks like.
My favorite storyline every single year, which is the Tankathon, a game we did not talk about tonight. The Cavs and the Suns are a real barn burner of two teams trying not to win. Fortunately, I think was it the Suns that won this one? I don't even have it.
No, the Cavs won.
The Suns out tanked them. Phenomenal effort on their part. But Phoenix 11 wins, New York 11 wins, and have lost, I think, 100 games in a row. So it's always fun to kind of see which teams can go on these nice double-digit losing streaks to close out the year.
I think between the two of them, between the Knicks and Suns right now, they've lost a combined 34 or 35 games in a row.
You hate to see it. And you know what's funny, though? I will say this. Tanking, I think it just changes. Like, they flatten the odds, so now, you know, there's a lot more teams with a lot better odds. In fact, I think every team at the bottom of the standings actually has a better chance of getting the fifth pick than the first pick. So I think the league did a very, very nice job of that. But, you know, you still have these teams that are 11-49 after the All-Star break. It's a terrible record, so it hasn't fixed everything.
Just random aside, while we're kind of sort of on the topic, get healthy, Zion. Get healthy, stay healthy. Don't play the rest of the season. Just get to the draft, please. Please don't, you know, oh man, it makes me nervous, man. This is like millions of dollars that are on the line for that kid.
Makes me legitimately nervous.
My next thing, it's probably coming from a hater standpoint, just because the Spurs have been so consistent and all of these things, but I don't want them in the playoffs. I think the Clippers are a more interesting playoff team. I want the Kings in there just to see what the kids can do. Obviously the Lakers, just because LeBron and I'm a homer. But like the Spurs, they're just kind of there.
I think what you're keying in on, and here's kind of an interesting thing about the league. The Spurs don't have any youth that's carrying that roster. I mean, they're DeMar DeRozan, they're LaMarcus Aldridge, and that's the meat of them. You look at all these other teams. Utah's Donovan Mitchell. You know, the Rockets, Harden's still in the middle of his prime. Portland's got some youth. You know, Oklahoma City guys in the middle of their prime. So I think you've got a lot of teams that you're like, even if they're not going to win the championship this year, it's part of the larger story, and we want to see that. With San Antonio, it's almost like an epilogue to a story that's already finished. And so that's why there's no intrigue there, in my opinion.
Well, and so the NBA is a players-driven league, and the Spurs are almost a college team in the way that Pop is actually a driving force there. And I just I'm not really a fan of college sports. I think I'd much rather have some of these newer kind of fresher teams out there in that playoff spot. Last thing,
I'll say this though: I would not mind seeing San Antonio match up with Golden State in the first round, because Popovich, more than any other coach, I think does a good but he also just does a good job of forcing teams to show their hand. Mm-hmm. And so you make Golden State show their hand in round one, other teams are going to steal that blueprint going forward.
That's a great point. Any last ones before we sign off here?
I think the most interesting player for me is Russell Westbrook, because in a lot of ways he's had a good season, but it's been a bit different. His scoring and in particular his outside shot hasn't been there. This is a chance for him to kind of get that going again. And Oklahoma City, they've quietly been, I think a lot of people see them as the biggest threat to Golden State this year, even more so than Houston. But you get Russell Westbrook in a groove over this last 2 months, and they've just become a lot more interesting. To me, they seem like false contenders to me. I just don't buy that they're actually going to challenge Golden State. But if Westbrook gets in a groove, then, you know, who knows? Anything's possible.
I don't think Westbrook is getting enough credit for taking a step back the way that he has this year to allow Paul George to be put into the MVP conversation. I don't think heading into the season, I'll be frank. I didn't think it was possible for him to do that kind of thing. I didn't think he was that kind of a teammate, but he showed he is. And I think he deserves a ton of credit for being able to do that.
He's taking 1.5 fewer shots per game. Which is a lot. I mean, it doesn't sound like a lot, but it is a lot. Over the course of a season, that is something. So yeah, there's something there.
All right. I think that'll do it for this episode of Locked On NBA. Have a great weekend. It's great to have basketball back. All of these games are seriously going to matter. One of the knocks that you tend to hear about the NBA is that over the course of an 82-game season, some of these games don't mean as much in the earlier months. But right now, each and every single game, quarter, fans looking at scoreboards across the league now for both reasons, tanking reasons and competing reasons. I can't wait. This is my favorite time of year right now. So
a lot of good games on the slate tomorrow. A lot of good games.
It's going to be fun, man. It's going to be fun. You ready for this?
I'm ready.
Have a great weekend, everybody.